Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon.
Great to hear your voice.
And yours.
Yeah. Sherry, people are running around here all over the place.
Well, yes.
It's busy.
Yes, it's busy.
There's a lot of energy here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm excited to be on the air here.
Sometimes it's a little touch and go, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was just reading. Somebody wrote into the email class who does live radio.
Uh-huh.
And was going through the kind of all of the things that can happen during a live radio show. And I thought, I can relate to all of that.
Yes. Yeah, you'd experienced every one of them.
Every single one of those.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great. My name is Michael Gray. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Sherry, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, there's so very much to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Have we done projection?
Well, there's a big email class going on that you know about with projection.
Yes, and I think we talked about that kind of nonstop last week.
Yes.
And I talk about it everywhere.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I was in a big conversation with somebody about it today because it might be my next book project, which
wow.
I'm kind of excited about.
That's great.
Yes. And I can do a little pre-advertising. It's with a company called Sounds True.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm not giving anything away, so there's a possibility that that's going to be the title of our project that we do together. Could be something else. We never know.
Yes.
We've talked about acceptance and the illusion of control and all of those standard subjects. So
mm-hmm.
more on that soon.
Great.
We can talk about peace because on Thursday night, we have the Peace Force meeting at the Zen Center in Mountain View. The
yes.
representative is coming from that organization to talk to us about the work that they're doing for peace around the world.
Yes.
And of course, as you know, that's a huge topic of interest for me with my passion about the International Ecumenical Peace Center in Assisi, Italy.
Yes.
So anything on your mind?
Absolutely. So that peace event will be this Thursday, November 13th, at the Mountain View Zen Center from 7 to 9 p.m.
Correct.
And if people have further questions, they could email us. And that email address is openair@kzsu.org.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, the other thing on my mind is a very exciting event that's coming up 3 weeks to the minute from today, which is our live radio show. Actually, live in person.
Yes.
I mean, today's radio show is live, which is
yes.
a lot of adrenaline anyway.
That's right.
But live in person.
Live in person. So this is when we're listening to, say, public radio, and someone is there in a big auditorium.
Yes.
And they're doing a live broadcast from a conversation that's going on inside that auditorium.
Absolutely.
That'll be us in 3 weeks.
That'll be us 3 weeks from today. It's going to be at Stanford University. The building is called Toyon Hall. That's Tuesday, December 2nd. And because we're going to be in such a big, great space, we're going to go double the length of time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be there for 2 hours from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Lovely.
And we'd like everybody in the local area to come and join us. And
in fact, people can come from as far away as they choose.
Well, that's great. Yeah, because they have 3 weeks to arrange their travel schedule.
Perfect.
Perfect. Perfect. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to mention is that archives from today's show and all shows are available at your website, Sherry, which is sherryhuber.com, and that's spelled CHERIHUBER.com. Our phone number today, if you want to join our conversation, is 650-723-9010. And Sherry, we have a listener already on the line.
Wonderful.
I'd like to welcome Donna from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hello, Michael. Hello, Sherry.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. It's great to talk to you, Sherry. Two things.
Uh-huh.
The first is I want to say thank you for that terrific, outstanding, wonderful, amazing trip to Italy.
That was kind of special, wasn't it?
It was absolutely perfect.
Uh-huh.
It was one of the top vacations I've ever had.
So, uh-huh.
And deeply appreciative to you and Krista and Joanne for making that happen. So,
yeah,
great trip.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, see, before you go on to point number two, I want to clarify for people, because people think that it's either a vacation or a retreat. But it isn't, is it? It's somewhere in between.
It was somewhere in between. It was, for me, it was an ideal combination, because I think we probably spent about 5 hours a day in yoga and meditation, and, you know, that time probably 8 hours or so sightseeing and a few hours chatting. So it was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It was
good.
Great. Yeah.
Thank you.
And my second thing has to do with the things you and Michael were talking about, projection, acceptance, illusion of control. And I would add one more to that, fear.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's good.
And my desire for peace in my own life.
Uh-huh.
So I can kind of wrap those all together.
Oh, absolutely. They all go together, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they do. And I'm really in a difficult place. I am finding myself projecting an old pattern of a relationship with a loved one who's gone, and I've realized today that I'm projecting that onto another person in my life who I have difficulty with. My mom died a few months ago, and it was a loving relationship, but a very difficult one.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, and I believe at some time, somewhere along the line, you warned me that I needed to be cautious about this. And so I am seeing it, but I'm really struggling with it.
So essentially, what, if I'm understanding you, you had this relationship with your mother that was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in essentially the same relationship with somebody else in your life.
Right.
And my guess from what you, I don't know why I'm projecting this, I think from something you said, that this is not quite the loving relationship that you had with your mother.
No, it's not a person that is as close to me, although it's a person that's intimately tied to my life.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, it's not a relationship that I can just walk away from and not, you know, get involved in, but
yeah.
It's a relationship that's here to stay. It's a relative, you know, but I'm doing the same pattern.
Yes.
What happens is I'm in conversation or at a family gathering, and I walk away feeling like I can't say anything. You know, something comes up, and I don't like the way things are being done. And so I don't feel as if I can comment on that or say anything. And I also, this has happened recently with gifts. You know, I brought a gift, and it was wrong. You know, it was like it wasn't the right size. And then, even though it wasn't for this person, it was for someone else. You know, well, that's too small. And the person actually liked the gift, but the other person said, oh, no, that just doesn't fit right. And it's happened repeatedly. That's been sort of my pattern with this person for years. But it just seems to be kicked into high gear now.
Sure. Now that this is the... It used to be spread out between two,
mm-hmm.
right? But now it's all concentrated in one person.
Yeah, and I think there are two difficulties. One is the external difficulty. It's kind of like, what can I do to make this relationship work, or can I do something here differently to make this relationship more smooth? But that's, at this moment, that's not my main issue. My main issue is, how can I take care of myself
right.
in this predicament? Because mm-hmm. I walk away feeling hurt, mm-hmm. and I walk away feeling somewhat abandoned,
mm-hmm.
and I walk away feeling unloved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I don't feel very appreciated,
mm-hmm.
and it's a real struggle, because this is not a person that's going to be out of my life. This is a person who's
or change
going.
Right away.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And we've been in a relationship of this sort for 10 years,
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you this, since we've done some work before, and you'll know immediately what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Which part of you interacts with this person?
You know, I knew you were going to ask that question.
It's such a good and logical question, isn't it? Because I project that it's someone quite young.
It is. It is. Before that question was out of your mouth, I was thinking this is a little girl who's interacting here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The same little girl who had difficulty with her mother.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who felt unloved, unappreciated by her mother.
Mm-hmm. In some ways, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just, you know, it's like I want to move away from that pattern, and I don't seem to be able to, because just in the last 7 months or so since my mom passed away, I've caught myself a couple of times in this same sort of predicament, you know. But
okay. Let me ask you this. Have you ever brought this much conscious awareness to it? So what I'm really asking is, like, when are you going to see this person next?
Oh, probably in a day or two.
Okay, good. So is it possible for you in the next, and you can check in with us next week, okay?
Okay.
In the next day or two, to have a conversation with that part of you who usually interacts with this relative,
mm-hmm.
and to say, I know this is upsetting for you, I know that you feel like you can't say anything, that you're not loved, that you're not appreciated. So here's what I'm going to suggest to you. I'm going to suggest that you not interact with this relative,
mm-hmm.
and let me interact instead.
Mm-hmm.
And then, before the encounter, you mm-hmm. take responsibility for checking in with that part of your personality and saying, okay, now our agreement is you're not going to be here for this interaction because... Mm-hmm. It's really hard for you and really painful. That what that's going to do is bring you back to conscious awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You won't remember or be able to have that conversation with yourself if you're not coming from a centered place.
Mm-hmm.
And then you remind yourself that you're going to go into that, whatever the interaction is with your relative, mm-hmm. from center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be your assignment.
Wow.
So now we just forget, you know, anything else. We forget mm-hmm. socializing. We forget mm-hmm. Family relationships. We forget all of this. This is a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ongoing workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that you're working on in your workshop is staying centered throughout every interaction with this person.
Mm-hmm. And bringing... Okay. Well, I feel like I'm reviewing a conversation I had with you several years ago about how to relate to my mother, which is I couldn't let that small child go to her with those same kinds of feelings and ideas.
No. No. You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, it's not safe, it's not kind, it's not helpful to anyone. Even the other person who may or may not have any idea about what's going on,
mm-hmm.
but it's not kind to put somebody in a position where they have to struggle with the repercussions from your reactions
right.
to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you come in there from a centered place, you're a grown-up, you can see this person for who they are,
mm-hmm.
Probably from a centered place, you would see that they're being just as loving as they can possibly be,
mm-hmm.
That they don't intend to do the things to you that it feels like they're intending to do,
mm-hmm.
and there can be loving kindness brought to the exchange.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
Yeah, and so it's going to take some conversations between now and then,
mm-hmm.
because if you go unconscious for a second, that little girl who's like a moth to a flame
mm-hmm.
is going to go in there and have the same experience one more time.
When I think about being afraid of you know, what would be the repercussions of my speaking up,
mm-hmm.
what I feel inside are the feelings of that small child.
Yes.
But what I, you know in my head and with my past experience with this person, when I do say something, it does have repercussions that I don't like.
Exactly. And from center, you may decide not to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, that we don't need to confront every situation in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's always intelligent to look and see if we're willing to pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
And with relatives especially. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the karma is just not worth it.
I think what I get afraid of is I'm worried about just exacerbating the situation, you know, because I don't want to
coming
make
from
it
a
any...
centered place.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, oh, I would look to see who said that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because from a centered place, it wouldn't be possible to do that.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't. Because even if your relative said, huh, what is going on? She's acting awfully funny.
Mm-hmm.
She's not acting like herself. And may try to take the conversation to a new place, whatever. From center, it just doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
From center, you just stay there and breathe and let everybody be how they are and accept whatever is as it is and do whatever is most compassionate for all, which sometimes is nothing.
And in your wisdom, how many more times will I have to go through this lesson?
In my experience, we have to go through it until we stop caring how many times we have to go through it.
Oh, well, I must not be there yet because I keep thinking, how many more times?
But you see, if you're centered, mm-hmm. it won't be going through it again.
Yeah.
From center, it's brand new every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, you
thank
promised
you
to report
so
next week, right?
I will call you to report, certainly.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Donna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Sherry, the phones are still ringing here.
Good.
Before
who's
we...
there?
What's that?
And let's see who's there.
Yeah. Before I go to that, can you take 10 seconds or 20 seconds and say what aspects of the personality are?
Yeah. As we're growing up, when we run into things that threaten our survival... This is the very, very short form of this.
Mm-hmm.
We run into things that are a threat to our survival, and we adapt. We split off, and we leave an old way of being behind, and we morph into a new way of being. And just very simply there, we've created three aspects of the personality. So there's the way I used to be, the way I am now, and the voice in my head that is holding this adaptation in place.
Uh-huh.
I shouldn't be that old way. I should be this new way.
Uh-huh. Fascinating. Thanks for clarifying that, Chuck.
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to welcome Jody from San Francisco. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hi.
Good evening.
Should I just go ahead with my question?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, I am very concerned about a lot of different problems that exist in the world, politically, socially, and I find that it's a real struggle to keep balanced and happy when, you know, I'm working so hard to fix all these different problems that exist.
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't know if you had advice on, how to kind of keep yourself in line when, you know, you feel so passionately about solving the environmental problems and the social problems and the racial problems and all the different things that are out there. And, you know, I actually dedicate my life and my career to doing this kind of work and find that it takes everything out of me to be able to do that.
Yep. Sure does. Depending on where you do it from. Okay, so I'm talking all the time about whether we are at center. You know what I mean by that?
I think so.
Yeah. So here, no identification with separation. It's just us chickens. We're all in this together, and I'm looking for the place that is most compassionate for all. For all. Okay? Or we're out in what I call egocentric karmic conditioning, which is in an identification with a separate self. I'm locked into my opinions and assumptions and beliefs. I'm projecting all over people. I'm coming from all these different aspects of my personality. Who one thinks this, another thinks that, another believes that, and I'm unconscious. I'm just kind of on survival and out there flailing around. So for me, now this might not be a popular response, okay? For me, anything that we do that is not from center is contributing to the problem. Because you've probably noticed that there are a lot of actually very sincere people out there trying to make things happen in the world from deep beliefs of right and wrong that are diametrically opposed to your views.
Yeah.
Notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't write them all off as hateful, ignorant, vicious. You just can't, because they're not. They can be intelligent and sincere and hardworking and believe just as deeply as you believe in something that is exactly the opposite to what you believe.
But I feel like the world is going to fall apart if I don't, you know, fix it, all the things that are wrong with it, that
I know.
I'm enlightened enough to understand.
I know. Now, here's something, again, that you just might consider in one of those quiet moments, okay? As far as we know, the world has not changed dramatically for as long as there have been people. People have been pretty much doing the same thing for as long as people have been around. And people have been believing that the world was going to come to an end at any moment forever. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that?
I mean, I do in social circumstances, and I know that, you know, we're just not benefiting from the kind of history that exists in the
people,
you know,
never have, have they?
No, we have very short-term memories.
Very
and
short.
Especially when it comes to things like, well, I think we can recover from all the sociological and social problems for the long term, and things will right themselves and come back into balance, but environmentally, I don't know how that, you know, I think we're going in a direction that's beyond our ability to fix.
You know, my teacher used to say this kind of alarming thing, which I always appreciated because I agreed with. He would say, you know, if we blow ourselves up, we will have blown up the only ones who care. So if the human race decides to destroy its environment.
Mm-hmm.
Is there really anything you can do to stop that?
Well, I feel like there should be and that there is.
Okay. And if you destroy yourself in the attempt, has it been helpful?
Well, in the big picture of things, I don't know, maybe. In the small picture, no.
No. So here's my encouragement, okay? I think that the only way there's ever going to be a difference in the world is as each one of us goes through the process of waking up and ending suffering. Getting back to that centered place where compassion is more important than principles. That from that place, we can actually offer an alternative to the greed, hate, and delusion that seems to be the primary choice of human beings.
And but how do you do that?
Pardon me?
Is that by example, or how do you do that?
It's not a matter of example. Although it is, you can't do it in order to be an example, but you are. So if we look at the great leaders, spiritual leaders and teachers that we have examples of, what they did was live the difference that they wanted for the world. They didn't tell people how they should be different. They simply lived the difference, and people saw that difference and were so attracted to it that they wanted to emulate it. But telling people what they're doing wrong and opposing them, I suspect, at the deepest level, is what's holding the struggle in place.
Well, I don't find necessarily that what my job is or what I'm doing is telling people that they're wrong. I'm working, political organizing, and so I'm harnessing the power of what the general public feels and using that to, demonstrate to political leaders and others so that what the public thinks is best is actually what decisions are being made.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, and if you can do that from a place that is most compassionate to all, then I would bet that you'll get a lot done, you'll be a really happy person, you'll be a joy to be around, and you'll become kind of like a magnet
mm-hmm.
for other people who also want to make a difference but don't want to trade their lives for the effort. Do you know what I mean?
I think
when,
so.
When we're around someone, no matter how good the work is that they're doing, and we see them angry and bitter and burned out and exhausted, and
mm-hmm.
we kind of look at them and go, huh, I can really admire that, but I don't want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're having more fun than anybody doing the things that you're doing, then other people just might look at it and say, I'd like to join her. So she's doing something here that looks like more fun than what I'm doing.
That seems like the living by example.
Yes. Yes, that you live the difference you want for the world. Because one more person being right
mm-hmm.
is just not that new.
Okay.
Something to think about?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jody. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Coming up at 6 p.m., we have DJ Decca and DJ Foe with At the Cafe Bohemian. They play some great world music, so stay tuned for that. And then at 8 p.m., we have CW. Sherry, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. My name is Michael Gray. If you'd like to join our conversation today, please give us a call. You can reach us at 650-723-9010. Sherry, I heard a lot in what Jody was sharing
mm-hmm.
about beliefs, identity, doing the right thing, right versus wrong.
Well, and deep caring.
Absolutely.
Yeah, deep concern.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
In a way, what Jody is grappling with is what parents face.
Mm-hmm.
How do we care so deeply about something, whether it's the environment or a child, and not through the process of caring grow to dislike others or believe
uh-huh.
that there's something wrong or
yes.
feel threatened or get angry. And I'm not saying Jody was experiencing any of those things, but
yes.
I think we all know those places inside of ourselves
yes.
where we feel strongly about something, and it's very difficult not to see the other person as wrong, as the enemy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it reminds me of, I think, a caller a couple weeks ago talking about, as a parent, knowing that open, caring place is the, quote, right place to be, and yet they're so scared or so invested in their children that it becomes hard to find that centered, open place.
Oh, yes, too terrified about the outcome to go to center.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. that conditioning is so deep that I have to do the right thing. And I can't take a chance on being in the moment and not knowing what to do. It's very difficult. It's very tricky. There's a lot of emotion with it, and of course that's the thing that really makes it so difficult for us. There's so much emotion locked up in it. One of the things, of course, that we talk about a lot with something like a concern about the environment is that we have a tendency as human beings, and pick something that we're passionate about or that we're upset about or that or we have a deep concern about. You know, I project what's going on, my fears and concerns from inside, I project it out onto something else. Mm-hmm. And then I try to take care of that fear, that concern, that pain, that suffering outside.
Uh-huh.
It's a vicarious healing. So if I can, you know, if I can take care of you, if I can fix you, if I can make your life work, then I won't suffer the way I'm suffering. But of course, it never works, because even if I fix you, whatever that means, it still hasn't taken care of that place inside myself.
Yes.
So then I just have to go find somebody else to fix.
Uh-huh.
And I have to keep doing that, because I'm not directly addressing what goes on in me.
Yes.
So, you know, it's something like the environment, that's, you know, that's pretty easy to see. Not only is my survival threatened, but I also identify really heavily with all of the creatures, with all of the plants and mm-hmm. everything in nature that's being destroyed.
Uh-huh.
The people who are being destroyed, I can feel that inside of me. It's a how would I feel if that were happening to me? And I go to that place of suffering inside, and then I project that that's what's going on with them. And I'm not even saying that's not valid. It's
yes.
just that taking care of something outside never takes care of what's inside.
Uh-huh.
So if we heal what's inside first, now, if many people are afraid that if they heal what's inside, they'll lose the passion for
mm-hmm.
for affecting what's outside. And I just don't believe that.
Yes.
I think when we heal what's inside, we're freed up. All of that energy is freed up to bring to whatever kind of contribution we would like to make in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's exciting. When we're
very
freed
exciting.
Up in that way.
Yeah.
So we're happy inside, and then we have all this energy to do what we want to do.
Yeah, because it makes us happy. Because we want to do it. Because,
yes.
Because let's face it, we're projecting that the world would be a happier place if pollution were cleaned up, if people had clean water, if people didn't clear-cut forests, if you know, whatever it is that we're looking out there and seeing, rather than, I hate what's happening, I hate the people who are doing it, what does that do? That fills my heart with hatred. Can I find that painful place inside of myself, bring compassion to it, heal that, look out at those people and say, okay, now how can we make this work for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
How can we do that? How can we find a way for people to be able to do what they want to do with the environment in a way that takes care of the environment, them, me, you, everything.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it comes from a place that's most compassionate for all as our point of view, not from there are more of us who want it this way than want it that way, and so we're going to make you do what we say is the right thing to do. And, of course, we look through the history of human beings and what happens with that. You know, this group gets stronger and they win, and then the other group gets stronger and they win, and we just go back and forth, back and forth,
mm-hmm.
back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Never really doing anything except being in opposition to one another.
Uh-huh.
And I know it seems like a small step to take to do that internally, to do that work internally. But I remain convinced that it's actually the only thing that's going to ultimately make a difference.
Uh-huh. Huge potential.
We've tried the other way.
You're right.
You know, again, for as long as there have been people, groups of people have gotten together, pointed the finger at one another and said, you're wrong.
Yes.
Fought. Killed each other, died, and you know we're still in the same place. It hasn't changed
yes.
anything.
Yeah, let's try something new.
Let's try something new: compassion, loving kindness,
and compassion,
and fun. You know, have you got another caller?
We do have another caller.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll tell you about my screenplay later then.
Okay, we'll get right back to it.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Celia from Seattle. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Thank you, Michael.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
I'm calling with a follow-up.
Yes.
I spoke to you at the end of August and told you that I was getting something that I'd wanted all my life, and I was terrified.
Uh-huh.
And you said to me, suck it up and grin from ear to ear. And that's
what
I've been doing. It's been the most extraordinary experience. And lately I've been, it's just sort of things have been building, and more good things are happening, and I seem to be surrounded by people who are kind and wishing me well, and so here I am calling you again, saying, my God, now I'm really terrified.
So what does the terror sound like now?
Now it sounds like it's scary to leave old identities behind. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's feeling mostly right now.
Is there an element of when is the other shoe going to drop?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That. Yeah, I could get into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is so great. This is so great that I, I need to stop right here and lament all that I've left behind in order to get to this great place.
Uh-huh.
And then I need to get nervous because how long can this last anyway?
Yes.
I know. That's the kind of critters we are.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And, you know, there's some validity to that shoe-dropping thing because we do have ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, we slip into a place and it's great and we love it and it's just amazing, and then we kind of slip out of that place for a little while and things don't seem as amazing.
Right.
Yeah. And now if we panic and say, oh my God, you know, that was it, that was probably the high point of my life, it's downhill from here, then we can work ourselves into a real state. And it's really kind of a shame because, of course, it's not the end of the good times. It's just a little blip along the road.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to hear.
At least, let me say this. That's my experience.
Uh-huh.
That's my experience. With expansiveness, which is what you're experiencing, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is getting really, really huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's some contraction, and usually it's brought on by fear. Mm-hmm. So as soon as we start expanding, that conditioning, you know, begins to whisper in our ear those, you know, how long can this last, and, well, gosh, what about old so-and-so, you know, you left them behind, and
yeah.
Gee, weren't you really happier when you were small and contracted and miserable?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we might buy into that a little bit, and we could start getting afraid. Oh, gosh, what if I can't maintain this? And
My voice says, you won't be able to handle this.
Yeah. Well, thank you, voice. So helpful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that strikes a little note of fear, right?
Yeah.
And you contract a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's true. That process will happen. And if you just watch it, and if you say, well, you know, voice, you might be right, but it's going to be really interesting to see, isn't it? And you just keep coming back to right now, what's going on now. I seem to be fine. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice that you just continue to expand back out. And then the voices come in or whatever it is that tries to contract you down again. And then you notice that as you accept that, the expansiveness is right back there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Great.
Good.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Well, you're welcome. Keep in touch.
I will.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for calling us, Celia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. If you'd like to give us a call and talk about projection or being interested in what's going on, you can reach us at 650-723-9010. Sherry, it was interesting when you got to a place of talking about being interested in the process,
mm-hmm.
independent of what's going on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so... I won't be able to handle this. Mm-hmm. That's I think that was the way, you won't be able to handle this. And if we look at it, it's so silly because you've handled everything.
Right.
You know, everybody who's here right now has, in fact, handled everything. It may not have been elegant or beautiful. It might not have met conditioned standards of how a person should be. But, hey, you did handle it. So we listen to those voices, and we're trained to feel fear when we're threatened in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But we have no experience that the voices are actually right.
Uh-huh.
You know, this isn't going to last. Well, how do you know that?
Uh-huh.
You know, how do you know that? Or the other side of it is, and that's legitimate, right? How do you know that?
Right.
Now, the other side of it is, well, it never has lasted. Well, that's a good point. But nothing lasts. You know, the entire universe is different every nanosecond. So what is the point here? What are we really trying to say? Well, I'm trying to rain on your parade. That's really all that it comes down to, you know.
Yes.
You're feeling really expansive, and, you know, here's a way to throw a wet blanket on all of that enthusiasm.
Yes.
And that's you know, in this email class, I get people who write in and say, well, you know, you just make it sound like conditioning is the just a bully who's lurking down every alleyway and waiting, and, I mean, isn't it the source of our enlightenment, and isn't, you know, and yeah, to all of those things. Yes, to all of those things. You know, we have this conditioning that says, be small, be afraid, be controlled, you know, live as small as you can until you die. And, you know, when we stop and look at it, we can frame it, people frame it in all kinds of ways. But that seems to me what it comes down to. We are conditioned in this way. It serves absolutely no purpose in an adult life.
Mm-hmm.
It's silly. It's ridiculous. Yes, we believe it. Is there any truth to it? No.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to wake up out of.
Uh-huh. So these experiences happen when we're children, and these parts of ourselves develop, it sounds like. And as we grow up to be adult, the strategies, survival strategies, are no longer adaptive.
Exactly. So what happens to us is we don't grow up.
Mm-hmm.
As we grow up to be adults, we don't.
Right.
So, you know, we have people in big bodies,
yes,
walking around terrified of voices that say things like, you're ugly, or, you know, you're not going to be able to handle it, or whatever it is that the voice is saying inside a person's head.
Uh-huh.
And children are afraid of those voices. Adults aren't afraid of those voices. And that's a huge, to me, that's growing up spiritually.
Uh-huh.
When we recognize that, wait a minute, I don't need to be afraid of that. I don't need to be controlled by that. That voice doesn't know anything. You know, this isn't going to last. You're not going to be able to. Well, anybody who would say that, you know, wouldn't know what they were talking about.
Yes.
And the fact that they're talking inside your head, you know, is really suspicious.
Yes.
And they say the same thing all the time. You know, nobody's ever going to love you. Well, what kind of a thing is that to say? You know?
Yes.
Come on, where does that voice come from? This is not grown up.
Yes. And until we become aware of what's going on, it's just coming in and it's true.
Oh, we just believe it because little kids are listening to it.
Yes.
Little kids inside are listening to it.
Yes.
So like Donna, you know, goes to the relative and takes the present, and the relative opens it up and says what we can project is a very conditioned response. You
yes.
know, that's the wrong size. That's not going to fit. That's not the right thing.
Yes.
And there's a little child there who's just devastated by that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's very, very painful. So that's the work that we're all doing, is realizing that and saying, no, now wait a minute. I'm not going to turn my life over to a small child. I'm gonna be here. I'm gonna listen to those voices, because from a centered place I can realize that they're ridiculous, silly, hateful, mean, cruel. I don't have to believe them. And from a centered place, I'm going to make conscious, adult, compassionate decisions and choices about what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's...
It sounds really easy, doesn't it? if we can plow our way through lifetimes of conditioning, and we can.
Yes.
Yeah. It is not quite as simple and straightforward as I just said it, but close. Once
yes.
we catch on. In the email class, somebody wrote in and said, I just listened to the voice of the judge, the judging voice inside, and the person said, and I heard it, and it's ridiculous.
Yes.
There's the turning point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one. Once we catch on to that, then it's just a matter of listening to it again and confirming, yep, it's silly.
Yes.
I, as an adult, I do not need to listen to voices that are talking that way, outside or inside.
Absolutely. And on a radio show like this, or this kind of spiritual practice, feels like it's really shining a flashlight on that in a way that it's never been, seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes more obvious what's going on and how ridiculous it is.
Yes.
And that everybody has the same stuff going on.
Everybody has the same stuff going on. If not everybody, doggone, there are sure a bunch of us.
Yes.
And so if it's not everybody, there are enough of us that we can consider ourselves a very large minority.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not just you, and it's not just me.
Yes.
And that's, when, of course, when we're growing up, that's what we're conditioned to believe. You know, everybody else is fine, and I'm the one who is ugly and unattractive and not that smart and am not going to be successful, and I just have to keep all of that information inside myself and feel bad and try not to let anybody find out and just, stay small and survive until I die.
Yes.
And when we start talking about it, and you have those voices? Yeah, do you have those? Yeah, I have those voices. Oh, my God, everybody has those. Well, why are we believing them then? it's not true about you. Is it true about me? No, it's not true about me. Wow. Well, then let's stop this nonsense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And in that place, we take everything so personally.
Oh.
When, in fact, nobody's even noticing us.
Nobody what?
Nobody's even noticing us or seeing us.
Yeah.
And we got so much going on. And
yeah.
It's quite amazing.
Yes, it is. We spend almost no time thinking about other people, right? But we're convinced that they're all thinking about us all the time and judging us because of that bad outfit we had on yesterday, or, how bad my hair looked, or that kind of silly thing I said when... Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, we can't get people to notice us when we want to.
Yes, quite amazing, quite amazing. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. We're getting close to the end of the show here. If you have a short comment you'd like to let us know about, please give us a call at 650-723-9010. Sherry, so the email class you're doing right now is projection.
Mm-hmm.
And what have you noticed in the responses or in the assignments since the beginning of the class?
Well, one of the things that we always notice is what you were just saying. We are so much alike, it's just scary.
Mm-hmm.
Person after person after person writes in, and probably 85% of the class could have written what
yes.
they wrote in.
Yes.
Probably 100% of the class. But,
yes.
It is true that this person is more concerned about this issue, and that person is more concerned about that issue. But aside from that, we're sort of the same person.
Yes.
In a lot of different bodies, living in a lot of different places. And we pretty much project the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, I would say most people that we know, and probably most people listening to this show, are really good people who try really hard, who have voices that are not supportive, have way more self-hate going than they deserve, and feel bad more often than certainly they would ever need to, like that. That's a very, very common theme for people who are trying to pay attention, trying to lead conscious lives.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a huge joy and excitement in it, is that we're all going through the same stuff.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So
yes.
I don't have to worry anymore because the person sitting next to me has got the same, you know, variation on the same theme.
Yes. So, you know, if you just want to get to know somebody, we'll just go on and get to know them because, you know, they're just like you. Yeah, we just have different little veneers that we've put on for, you know, the sake of being who we are,
yes.
Whatever that means. And
yes.
Right under that veneer, boy, are we all alike. And it's so, you know, back to peace, it's fascinated me forever that people can get so worked up over such minor differences.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to the point of being willing to kill one another,
yes.
Over really minor differences, mm-hmm. When you consider how much alike we are. You know, how almost everybody clings to life and loves their children and wants to have a good life and wants to do something important or significant and wants to be appreciated and be a contributing member and, you know, just so many ways that we are alike.
Mm-hmm.
And we focus on these very minor differences. You know,
yes.
you worship in a different way than I do, or you, you know, have this value that is different from mine, or you express the same value in a different way. And we have to be enemies over that. It's just, it's extraordinary to me.
Yes.
And
yes.
yet, when we look at it, I remain convinced it's the same process that's going on inside, projected out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in the same way that we're taught to judge and hate and try to get rid of parts of ourselves, we project that process outside,
mm-hmm.
and we judge and hate and try to get rid of others. So
absolutely.
The importance of bringing it all home.
Bringing it all home.
Mm-hmm.
Great. What a great way to end the show.
Well, it is, isn't it? If we have to end, we
yes.
might as well end on that note.
Sherry, would
but
you?
In 3 weeks, we won't have to end.
That's
because
correct.
Because we'll continue for another hour.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, what are we doing in 3 weeks?
Oh, we're going to be at Toyon Hall doing a live radio broadcast,
yes.
which is a very big deal for us.
Oh, yes.
Because there's just an awful lot involved. Like, we have to dress decently.
Dress.
Yeah, we have to comb our hair, which we don't have to do
yes.
when we're just, it's just us chickens.
Yes. Absolutely. So we're going to be live at Toyon Hall on the Stanford campus. Anyone listening to my voice or your voice, we'd love to have you there in the room with us.
Yes.
So we can have a conversation.
And bring an issue.
Bring
an
issue.
Or six or seven.
Yeah, or your friend's yes. issue.
Yeah, be ready for conversation because that's what we want that night. We want a lot of lively conversation.
Yes, we'll be going for 2 hours from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. I'd like to thank Lori and Jay, our stalwart help, as usual.
Mm.
All of our callers.
What would we do without them?
Well, I'd be in a...
We've tried, and it's been pathetic, so...
I'd be in a big panic is, I think,
yeah.
what I would be in.
Yeah, yeah, it wouldn't be pretty.
Yes, and I'd like to thank our callers and our listeners today. If you want to reach us before next week's show, you can email us at openair@kzsu.org. Archives of today's show and the previous shows are on Sherry's website, which is sherryhuber.com. That's spelled CHERIHUBER.com. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
See you next week.
All right. Good night.
Good night.